This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
It is 360biz.com. My name is Debo Mafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. I'm all the way in, Ticket Broadom. The last time we checked it was the door.
That's why I thought, earlier on, I thought I was going to get lost, or rather I was lost because I'm used to it being the Coca-Cola Dome.
Yeah.
And now it's the Ticket Pro Dome.
Yeah,
I don't know what the difference is.
No. There's a huge difference. I'm sure there's a buying of rides somewhere and everything, but anyway, we are here. I mean, we're doing an outside broadcast at the Media Tech that is actually taking place from the 19th to the 21st of July. If ever you're not definitely out here, you need to come out here. It is packed, dude. I mean, the last time I was here, this event was not as big as it is today. I guess, you know what, there's more budget.
I think it's that, and plus, I mean, when you look at where we are in right now, which is the fourth revolution, industrial revolution,
yeah.
I mean, technology has evolved, the ICT space has grown enormously, and I mean, when you look at, I mean, we're on a digital platform right now, so, you know, the need has grown.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, more than anything, I think for us, obviously, as Cliff Central, we are definitely honored to be, I mean, a media partner to this event and actually be broadcasting from here. I know definitely my colleagues and our colleagues as a whole, they've actually been doing amazing stuff since morning, definitely being here. So definitely this is a show that brings you all things business. You can always definitely tune into www.cliffcentral.com, and I'm more excited definitely with the discussion that we have here today. I've brought in an amazing guest. It actually is ladies in studio, beautiful ladies, I must add. But not only that, these ladies are beautiful, but they've got brains too. They are in the financial services sector. But at the end of the day, maybe I'm sure you might be asking yourself who I'm talking about. Maybe I'll get to actually bring them, you know, to actually introduce themselves. But are you excited we're going to be here?
No, man, I'm very happy. I'm excited. The month for me is a great month. Was it encapsulates the work that we do throughout the year.
Okay.
What were you doing yesterday?
Who?
Mandela Day. Yeah.
I didn't know. I was working, dude. I was working, dude, you know, and I was getting ready for today.
Yeah.
So definitely, I mean, that's what I've been up to. I was not doing any Mandela activities. I do Mandela 365 days a day.
Except for yesterday.
You know, no, except for yesterday.
No, so, man, it was a beautiful day out yesterday at AECI.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing amazing work there. But I mean, I think for them, you know what the funny thing is?
Mm-hmm.
I read a tweet, I think it was this morning or yesterday. It was actually yesterday.
Yeah.
Where someone, I think, angrily wrote, or rather tweeted, people need to get over this whole Mandela Day shenanigans and just live it every single day.
Yeah, no.
And that resonated with me. Yeah.
No, definitely. But anyway, we are not talking Mandela Day today, but we're talking finance. I mean, since we are in the month of savings, obviously since the month has started, we've been covering different things around financial literacy, around saving, around property. But anyway, today it's one of those that we continue with the session. I know that definitely one of the guests that we have today, they're actually having something that they've got an event actually as well that they're going to be doing later the month as far as money is concerned. Let me take this opportunity to welcome my guest. Thank you for coming, ladies. It's a pleasure definitely having you here. I know definitely our studio, our entering guests, our listeners rather, are actually excited to hear who we have. I can see the response, it's quite positive. They want to see the pictures of these beautiful ladies that I'm talking about. So maybe we're definitely going to be tweeting you guys, and maybe video and live and stuff like that. But maybe do you want to take an opportunity to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what it is that you do.
Well, good afternoon to your listeners. My name is Nastasia Arenta, and I'm a financial journalist at MoneyWeb.
Financial journalist.
Yes.
at MoneyWeb. We've got definitely another lady who she called herself a financial buy or a fitness buy. I don't know. But I know you've been trending. Your videos have been trending you know, around the issue of finance. Maybe say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what it is that you do.
Hi to the listeners of Cliff Central, and hi Teboho, and thank you for having us, or having me here today. My name is Nicolette Mashile, and I speak on finance. I speak on financial literacy and financial education.
Okay.
So I would, people call me a vlogger. I don't like that word. I don't know where it comes from.
Okay.
But basically, I'm trying to champion financial literacy in South Africa and actually on the African continent.
Mm. Okay, yeah. No, definitely. But we will come back. I want to hear more about that. But Anastasia, tell me, you are a financial journalist.
Right.
Did you study finance?
No, I didn't. I actually studied engineering and then ended up in broadcasting by default.
Okay. But then I have realized, Judy, that the people that we have in our show, they are all some odd reason didn't study this, but for some odd reason they find themselves, it's either by mistake or by default, you know, doing something else other than what they actually studied.
Now, I think for me, what I picked up is, and yesterday I was doing a talk and I was speaking about the power of career guidance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think passion, one way or another, seems its way out of whatever doctorate you have, whatever accolades you might have accomplished or received in life, and you get to that unique place where you're now the financial
journalist. But you actually, it does help to do a financial journalism qualification, because mm-hmm. then you know how to translate numbers into sentences that make sense and people can understand where your form of thinking comes from. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So now, maybe take us from the beginning.
Right.
How did you start and actually get into financial journalism?
There was a radio station. Well, it's still there. It's UJFM. Well, a lot of my varsity friends were all started there.
Okay.
And I started off as a news reader, and even though I was studying, it was just something that you do in between classes or whatever the case was. But the thing is, a lot of my, you know, friends who worked at the station had it in mind that they were going to do this for a living. For okay. me, it wasn't the case.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was done, I realized actually I do miss that media bug that had bit during varsity. So 6 months in, I told my parents that I want to do something in broadcasting. I didn't really know it was going to be financial journalism. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to be in broadcasting. And at the time, I went to intern at the SABC at SAFM.
Okay.
And I was there for about 6 months and then worked as a producer, left, went to YFM, and from there went back to the SABC, because some of us always end up going back there. It's like it's a weird magnet that pulls you.
Yeah.
But then ended up at CNBC Africa, and that's when the numbers thing happened, because then you're doing financial news all day, every day, and it's live television, and that's where the bug bit.
Yeah, but you do understand that now when you are on this side of town, now you are more into civilization.
Yeah.
You guys don't know what digital is. I mean, we're teaching you this, right?
And also, you're putting me out of my comfort zone, because I'm so used to asking questions, and now I get to sit on the other side where someone's asking me questions.
No,
so.
No, you must just enjoy it. It's one of those things. So now, I mean, you served obviously your time at CNBC Africa, and
right.
now I mean you're doing. Okay, that's where you introduced the numbers.
Yeah.
Wasn't it a difficult transition to actually get into that?
It is a difficult transition, and that is when doing the financial journalism qualification at WITS helped.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're learning from guys who were former editors of business publications, who are journalists, who cover the stuff daily. So they teach you where to look for the numbers, especially when you're dealing with company results,
mm-hmm.
when you're dealing with things that have to do with investments. They teach you what questions to ask, because you can easily want to throw in all the numbers in an article when you're writing
yeah.
it. But if you can't explain it and it's an unnecessary number to be there, those guys were particularly very helpful. So it's tough, but you manage through it.
Is it? No, definitely. So now you now got to MoneyWeb.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I took a chance. I think I decided to, well, after leaving CNBC, I made a decision that I want to be a freelancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to work on various stuff, because I think when you're in journalism or any kind of media, it's all about how diverse are you in terms of your skills? Can you produce? Can you write a script? Can you handle a camera? Can you do voice work? It's all about a different thing, and you can't just be one person who does producing or presenting. In the case of CNBC Africa, you got to know how to write as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd written to MoneyWeb asking if they had an opportunity or anything like that for me to be able to write, and they did. And I was focusing on mining and commodities.
Okay.
And the rest was history. It took off from there. And I did leave shortly and then went back again to MoneyWeb, yeah.
Oh, is it? So now you are in MoneyWeb now. You're doing numbers. Let's talk numbers for a change. Do you want to talk numbers for a change?
Yeah, I think I've been talking numbers for the past 2 weeks.
Okay.
So it's nice listening to someone else speaking about numbers.
So now, I mean, right now, you know, obviously we are in the crisis of being downgraded, obviously, as a country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to you as a financial journalist, obviously, I know you've interviewed a couple of people around that as well. What does it mean to you?
Well, it's basically, if I had to put it simply, if you were to go to a bank to ask for a loan to do various things for yourself,
mm-hmm.
the bank would then assess your ability to be able to pay back that loan based on various assessments, whether, for instance, do you get a regular income? Is there anything that would impact that income at any given point in time? It's just to basically work out whether they'd be able to get their money back. So in the case of a downgrade, a country borrows money in order to do various things, investments, etc. And basically someone comes to assess your ability, in this case it's the credit rating agencies, they assess your ability to be able to pay back that debt, that loan. And obviously when it's a country or sovereign, the criteria is very different. We look at political instability, we look at whether anything you may have promised in terms of economic growth targets, are you going to be able to meet those targets? We look at your state-owned entities, because some of them end up being closely related to government activities. So if there's a need to worry there, your state-owned entities have a say in where we rate you. So when you're downgraded, because the rating has different levels, again based on your ability to pay back, and where we're sitting at, I mean, a lot of the finance guys that I speak to are concerned about those various risks that people look at specifically for South Africa. So that's what it means to be downgraded.
So now, I mean, in regards to that, so in the midst of being downgraded, obviously you'd know that most companies start cutting on budgets, they start changing on investment strategies and, you know, a couple of things that they initially part of the plan, and they actually cut on expenses and stuff. So now, I mean, out of the way, you decide that US money, whatever you guys want to do, I mean, one of the South Africa's largest money and investment expo. You know, what are you guys trying to improve the economy? What are you guys trying to
do? So with the Money Expo, I mean, it's our third year running this event, and it just basically coincides with the kind of questions we've been getting on the platform, where people want to know what to do with their money. They want to know where to place their investments. They want to know whether they've been, you know, doing the right thing for the past few years with their money. So having an event like this is where we get to take all the experts we speak to, put them all under one roof. And
I'm not there.
It's free entry. I'm going to get to that and see how your listeners can come through. So we put them all under one roof, and you attend the sessions, and you pick which session, you know, speaks to you. And at the end, you can actually walk up to them and ask a question. You can get their business card, because now you know, sometimes you may find it embarrassing to call in a show and to say, well, I resigned and I ate through my pension and I don't know where to start rebuilding it. Now you can actually go to a financial advisor and approach them and tell them about, you know, some of the questions you may have that you may think are embarrassing. So that is why we're having the Money Expo to help people.
So now, why is though financial education important?
Because I think history and many reports or any form of media that you consume will tell you that we get to a point where people make the wrong financial decisions. Not because, and I think it's mostly because they don't know. And we've made finance and, you know, this whole world of experts in finance, we made it seem as though it's so difficult. All these words that you
Definitely
guys are throwing
is,
around,
yeah.
this jargon, we made it seem as though, you know, investing is so difficult. You can't buy shares in the JSE Stock Exchange. How do you do that? How do you get into property? And if we are to have an inclusive economy, which is what we're trying to, you know, work towards, we gotta get people all on the same page in terms of what they know, what to do with their money, how to interpret various things, etc.
I mean, speaking of you know, financials, you said people's bad habits, financial habits. Bulelani, you had a question.
I think one of the things that I wanted to ask actually was two parts. The first is, you know, with regards to the ratings agencies, you know. I know that we had a couple of conversations, I think even off air, with Deboho and a couple of other people. Who are credits rating agencies? where do they come from? You understand?
Yeah.
Because I think that one of the things, I mean, I'm not a financial expert, you know, but I'm just a citizen who noticed the rand go up as the ratings went down.
Yeah.
So maybe if you could educate, I mean, laymen like me.
Well, the rating agencies, you know, they're not new. They've been around for a number of years. I think one of the oldest, S&P is one of the oldest, followed by Fitch and then Moody's. You get some of the smaller rating agencies. I know South Africa's got one that's located in Sandton. But the rating agencies, I think some of them have worked, well, the top three have worked so hard in getting that reputation that you want your credit and your debt assessed by them. But then, remember, I don't know if you remember, there was a period during the financial crisis where they were blamed for missing, you know, certain warning signs for when the U.S. financial crisis hit, that there was certain debt that they overlooked and thought that it was okay when it was not okay. So they do have that stigma around them and that cloud that continues to follow them. And I think it'll continue to follow them for years to come. Some have raised concerns as to whether those who want their debt assessed, do they end up having some kind of unfair relationship with the rating agencies and you end up, there have been those kinds of concerns. And I know also here locally, we've had some politicians in various groups also raise concerns about credit rating agencies. But the thing is, you've got to have your debt assessed because no investor wants to go in blind into an economy and not know what's going on.
But I think you're running away from Lelani's question. You know, she's having a smart way of answering it. Who owns the rating agencies? Who's deciding to start to say, I'm going to be in a rating agency and things like that? Because right now, from where I'm sitting, from the little research that I've done, that is controversial as it is, I think it's a monopolized entity that is privately owned and that is controlled by business, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why, obviously, for me to want to get into a country, obviously, I'll want to push my own agenda, even using agencies to actually get to it.
But, you know, just to answer that, you know, I think also because of the controversies around rating agencies, and I think that is why the BRICS nation have been trying to advocate to get the BRICS rating agency as well. People have been trying to talk about it. How does it start? Where do we get started? Where you get the BRICS ratings, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, coming together to form a rating agencies that assesses each other's debt. In that sense, that you don't necessarily feel as though Fitch has been unfair to you or S&P has been unfair in that case. So I don't know. It's a debate that's worth having. Have I run away from your question?
No,
again?
You haven't. No. I think you touched on it because I think the likelihood of someone passing through an underhanded deal or an under table deal, you know, or package is much higher.
Yeah.
In that case, because now, I mean, I could easily, you know, start a controversy of some sort in whatever country, wherever, by paying them off, you know? Because I think for me, I mean, as really, really as a layman, it didn't really make a lot of sense to me how we could automatically one dip, but the rand flies high.
Yeah.
But not to keep you there, so tell me a bit about the event. I mean, the event, the MoneyWeb event that you guys are going to be hosting, the expo rather.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to have a catered space for SMMEs?
Yes, so basically it's going to take place at the Sandton Convention Center on the 28th and the 29th of July.
And that's, you must put on record that me and Burera are not there.
So what you need to do, so it's on Friday and Saturday, so what you need to do is log on to the website, which is www.themoneyexpo.co.za. You register, it's all free. You get to have a look at the schedule and see what kind of topics, you know, are going to be discussed, what kind of guests are going to be there. One of the topics that are going to be discussed is whether your thinking is keeping you poor, and that discussion is going to be held with Douglas Kruger, who's an author. He's written about 6 books, and one of the most popular ones looks at how to position yourself as an expert. So he's going to be there, and that's one of the sort of paid for workshops we've got. The rest of them are all free. We've got a workshop that looks at stocks for frocks, where we demystify some of the investment stuff for women. We want to get women in, you know, participating and investing and knowing what to do with their money, because women play an important role, particularly when it comes to money and investing, and they know pretty much their stuff. And we're also going to have a discussion to look at how do you access government incentives, because a lot of people want to do business with government as well. A lot of people want to know how do I get funding? Where do I go? How do I know which funding is for me? So we're going to be discussing all of that. And then a little later on, you know, based on the interactions you're getting on your social media account, we're going to be giving away 6 tickets. That's 2 for each of the 3 sessions that I mentioned. And your listeners can participate, and they can, you know, it's free.
Oh, okay, no, definitely. And thank you, by the way, for the prizes that you're giving to our listeners. So now for people that want to get more information about the Money Expo, where can they go once more?
So the website is www.themoneyexpo.co.za, and you can also follow at MoneyWeb. We do tweet quite frequently about the expo and some of the guests that will be there. Euphonic will be there on Saturday. And Pililani just looked up and like, Euphonic Investments, what?
He's a property owner.
Yes,
so.
He is. So we're going to be talking about property as well. And he did join us last year at last year's expo. So this year is basically a catch up as to what has he been doing on the property side, what's he buying, what's he selling, and whether he's been spooked by the property market based on what's happening in the economy, that kind of conversation.
Okay, maybe before I let you go, why are you not looking at the economy or the financial matters in the townships though?
Well, that will be discussed as well. So the thing is, you know, what, and I think we're all to blame for this thing.
No, not me. Not me.
Okay, not you. Oh, we okay. All, except okay. You. We tend to have conversations where we forget businesses in the township, and that's the reason why we decided to let the Money Expo be free to all to register. So all you need to do is come to the Sandton Convention Center and speak to all sorts of people who do small business, who are in the manufacturing sector, who deal with IP, because a lot of you know, entrepreneurs have an idea, but they don't know what to do with the idea. Yeah. They don't know the legal aspects of that idea. Mm-hmm. Once you have it, is an idea just good enough? How do you know what business plan works for you? Mm. So these are the kind of conversations we're going to be having at the expo, and that's why we decided to take a keen interest by looking at our database of experts over the years and try to get them to come through and answer the questions that some of the listeners may not necessarily get through. Here you get to come through for 2 days. It's free. You can come Friday. If you love Friday, you can come Saturday again. There is no limit as to
how many times you can. Yeah, no,
wouldn't it be interesting to have a Money Web, or rather a Money Expo in the township?
Yeah, well, definitely,
that's where most
of
the people who are in debt are. Yeah, you know, and I run an initiative in the township, and I get to experience so many guys who come from families that are not liquid, or that are minus a million times liquid, you know? So if they could get this information, and I mean, guys that literally cannot afford. You know, I was telling someone, I think yesterday, that, you know, we often take for granted the things that we get so easily. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that I can drive here, you know, I undermine the person who comes here, and I'm a train, I'm a taxi. Mm. But I mean, I advocate for the township economy, especially the development of it. That's who I am.
Yeah.
So, which is why I'd like to bring.
Well, that is definitely in the pipeline, and we'll also be looking at ways to, you know, move the expo around so that at least we have one in Cape Town as well, one in Durban as well, so that everybody and the townships, so that everybody gets to benefit. We are talking inclusive economy, so Bulelani, you will get your wish.
Thank you.
So before as I let you go, we usually close off the show in style. So I know you're gonna be here to close off the show. Uh-huh. So I want a word of 30-second word of inspiration to somebody that is listening out there, or that's on the verge of giving up. What would you say to that person today?
I would say that don't give up. All of us have a purpose. You got to find it. You got to fight for it. You got to believe, and you got to work at it. Life is short. You don't want to be that person who is sitting 10, 20 years from now wishing that they had done something.
Mm-hmm.
At least if you're going to have a regret, wish that you had given someone else a chance because you were so hungry for that idea. But just work at it. Don't give up. And it all works out in the end.
No, definitely. No, thanks a lot, Nastasia, for joining us today. And looking forward to having you in studio next time for the full hour.
And I look forward to seeing you at the convention center.
No, definitely. I'm going to be there. I'm not going to miss it for the world.
Okay.
No, definitely. Coming now to an exciting, guest that I have. You've been having your videos trending. I mean, people are sharing your videos. You know, and right now I know you've been on a trend of talking to people around Stokvel, of putting together friends and whatsoever in terms of saving money. Maybe let's get to that. I know you didn't study finance, but you are in finance as well.
No, I'm in education.
Oh, you're in education?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Tell us more about that.
Okay, so as you see, I'm Nicolette. I'm 28 years old and I've made a lot of errors, financial decisions that have taken me to lawyers, financial decisions that have gotten me fights with friends, with family. Mm-hmm. And just from that, I decided, you know what? There are many other Nicolettes that are out there that are making financial decisions that are really not informed. They are making financial decisions that might impact the rest of their lives.
Okay.
So that was the reason why I started Financial Literacy with Nicolette Mashile, mm-hmm. because I just felt that financial houses and financial institutions in this country are failing at doing that simple thing, educating mm-hmm. people so that they can make those decisions in an informed manner. There is no point. I mean, yesterday we were talking a little bit on the page about financial products, you know, and the one guy says to me, you know,
you must say on the page that you've not had me.
Oh, I'm so sorry. My sincerest apologies.
Okay.
But yeah, one of the conversations we're having is around financial products, and we're saying, do you actually know what you are buying?
Okay.
Do the people that come to you, do they actually, these financial advisors, financial planners, brokers, do they actually first have a conversation with you about what it is that you are buying, how it's going to benefit you, how it's going to impact your life, and then after that sell you whatever it is that they're selling you? And you know, some of the stories that came out of there are horrible. There are people who have the same financial products from different financial houses. They don't even realize that. You know, we talked a little bit also about the mere fact that, you know, financial decisions is it's something that everybody should have the advantage of being able to make, but that advantage can only come with education. So whenever people come to me and they say, okay, this is my problem, this is where I am, I'm in debt, and first and foremost, I have to tell them that I cannot give any advice because I am not a qualified financial advisor or planner, right?
Okay.
But the first question I always ask is, do you actually understand debt? Do you understand how you get yourself into debt?
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? Because some people really don't understand how they get themselves into debt. They walk into a bank, they want to get a home loan, a personal loan, a vehicle finance loan. They don't understand interest rate. They don't understand how expensive the debt that they're acquiring mm-hmm. is. Then they find one day they wake up and they're in debt and they're like, yo, I can't pay my installment. It's not that you can't pay your installment, it's because your installment or your debt is not structured properly. You know, you end up getting this expensive debt that you could have really gotten it at a much cheaper rate,
yeah.
because you don't know. And also, especially, and I'll speak especially on black people because I am black after all,
mm-hmm.
we've got this thing, Oguti, when you go to a bank, ufuna iloan, as long as my grant a loan, that is like the celebration.
Yeah.
You know, you are happy that your loan is granted. You don't actually interrogate Uguti, what is that loan, you know, what is the cost of that loan, how long am I going to be paying
and
for
the interest
loan?
Thereof.
Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem, is that in as much as I can always advise you, which is the advice that we give, is go and see professional help if you find yourself in a debt situation. But the reality is, even a debt counselor will not be able to assist you if you don't understand debt. If you don't understand the psyche of how you get yourself into debt, and actually how the banking system works to be able to get you into debt, how micro lenders work, how loan sharks, I mean, it's a scary situation.
I've not asked you, do you have debt?
Good debt, yes.
Okay.
Good debt.
Which one is
yes.
good debt?
Huh?
Which one is good debt?
The new machine I've just purchased, the property I've just purchased.
You must say the asset that you just
purchased. The asset. Yeah. And then let me see. Bad debt. I used to have a lot of bad debt. Eh? When I started making money,
yeah.
I know that I owed everyone from pillar to post because, and I was going shopping, getting accounts, and I wasn't managing those accounts proper up until I got, you know, a Nicolette in my life.
That's awesome.
I think it was a YouTube video that I watched, because I mean, I was at a point where I really wanted to change my life and my finances, but I just didn't know how to, because I mean, it was this enormous mountain. I had a contract. This was when 8-9 years ago. I had a cell phone contract. I was the man, but I couldn't pay. I look at it back and I think to myself, you know what, this information, which is what I was trying to plead with the lady who was sitting here, that, you know, it's nice to go to Santon, but I know thousands and 30,000 people, hundreds and millions of people can't even afford to go to Santon.
Exactly.
It's a luxury. for a free event. Free doesn't mean it costs them nothing.
Doesn't mean accessibility.
That's the thing, you know, because I mean, you see what she
does. I'm sorry.
Teach us. I'm here to learn.
Please teach us. And the reason why people always say to me, okay, no, you need to put your videos on YouTube. You need to put them on these. Create a website, and I'm like, I'm happy to do that. I'll happily do that. But the one thing that we know for a fact is that in this country, a lot of people, the first thing they do when they just wake up and their eyes open, they log onto Facebook.
Yeah.
Facebook has given us a platform where we can give people free information.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, sometimes people will say, but there's a data issue, and I'm like, yeah, I know that people can upload a picture and a video, so therefore they can watch those videos. And even if they get just the first minute of the video. For me, that's really important, is get the, even if it's just for me to open your eyes and then you need to go further and look for information, that for me is really important. So, I commend what MoneyWeb is doing. I think it's really great and I think that it is important. But first, my two only issues with that is the first that it's really it being free does not really make it that accessible to a lot of people. I mean, I get over 400 messages a day with people who I want to cry with. Because I can't solve their problem.
Yeah, that's why Ari Nankara, they say, be the change that you want to see in the world.
Exactly.
That's why we're going to take on MoneyWeb and we're going to be bringing this to the township.
Beautiful.
And actually bringing this to the people. But I'm curious though, I mean, for me, it's you coming from Mpumalanga, got to Joburg, decided to hustle, started working, grew yourself within the company, and but why? How did you get to business? I understand. You got to business when you were back in Mpumalanga, right?
Yes, so
with
we had an informal, no, so that was here in Joburg.
Okay.
Gosh, wow. I did that. Yeah, no, I started a business in 2011. So I was studying sportsman. Oh, wait, let's just go back. I failed my degree at Rhodes University.
Mm-hmm.
I was studying politics and law, right? So I saw law on Boston Legal and thought, you know what, I'm going to study law. And it just was a different conversation altogether.
Okay.
So I failed my degree at Rhodes and I came to Johannesburg in 2010. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to do what I really had wanted to do from the start, which was sports management. And I did sports management, ended up becoming a student sports coach.
Okay.
And then I saw an opportunity within that schools needed sports coaches, but they didn't know where to go to find them. And they needed like a part-time type of sports coach, because obviously off-season they can't be paying somebody who isn't doing anything. So I then decided, you know what, I'm going to actually start this. It was more like I was a middleman, basically, because it was an agency. I was finding sports coaches from some of the schools that I used to visit. So, you know, being also in a sports college at that time. And then at the same time, I was working in these schools. So I would then find the sports coaches and then go to the sports director and say, this is the sports coach that I found. And I'd ask you, if you were the sports coach, I'd say to you, how much do you want to earn per hour? And you would say R100. Then I would go and negotiate R150 and then I'll keep the R50. So that was my first business with a boyfriend.
Is it? Oh, okay.
The shut up, bro, wherever you are.
Yes. So now maybe let me come here. I mean, I've not, to be honest, for me, I only knew about you last week.
It's okay.
You know, and I knew about her last week because a friend of mine sent me the video when you were speaking about Stockfell.
And
I said, find me this lady. I think she's got something to say. And who is she? She says, no, she doesn't know. Actually, I said, whoever sent you the video, ask them, where did they get the video? If ever somebody sent it, send it to that person. Tell them, you know.
Yeah.
And I think the chain went to about 3-4 people that didn't know who you were. But this video is going around. So right now, maybe word of advice. I've seen you've got a signature hello. I think as well it's nice to, after you've said hello, tell us who you are, you know, so that at least we know who you are.
We want a hunter.
Exactly, you know, because right now for me it I had to go through all the trouble not knowing who you are, then until eventually I saw a friend, Hector, the motivator, share your video. Then I was like, oh, so this is the lady, you know.
Yeah.
And for me as well, because you had different hairstyles, you had this, I didn't know it was you. So now I really needed to check whether is it the relevant person.
How long did this take you?
What?
This manhunt.
I've been a machine.
You have been one step.
No, let me tell you, she owes me lunch, dude, you know. But I think this is an advice as well.
Yes.
I think this is advice as well to all the people that are wanting to say, if you want something so bad, do not stop until you get it. I wanted her so bad. I went out of my way to find her, to get her. And guess where she's sitting? She's sitting right here. You know?
Took a big
bounce. Yes. No, definitely. And we're talking all things money, you know, and more than anything, maybe let's talk about how did you get to flogging? Is it flog or blogging?
Vlogging.
Vlogging.
I don't like that word. I feel like it's such a... Vlogging king. So anyway, my first mistake that I made that was very substantial. I mean, I had made millions of mistakes, you know, with finances.
I've got an idea. Sorry to disturb you.
Okay.
And then after the show today, let's do a vlog with her.
Yeah, you know?
That'll be cool.
Definitely. Then we'll talk about money and blah, 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 blah. What do you think about that?
That'll be pretty
okay. Cool. Continue. Sorry. Yeah.
So, the first big mistake that I made that costed me 125,000 rand was buying my first property. Well, it was the second property, because the first property I had bought cash, luckily for me. So I had saved enough money and I bought it cash.
Of course, check the names.
You guys know about 100 rand lower.
Yeah.
Nail bar, it's on Malibongwe. So the second property I was going to buy on bond, right? I went to see this house. It was beautiful. I fell in love with the house immediately when I walked in there. And then this lady, I mean, she's an agent, she pulled out her forms so swiftly and so quickly, you know. She was like, okay, no, just fill in here, sign here. I signed everything, literally.
Yeah.
And then after a few days, which is always what I encourage people not to do, is impulsive buying. After a few days, I kind of sobered up and I was like, actually, you know what? This house is a bit expensive. I can't really afford this house. You know, even if I could afford it, it would basically mean all my disposable income is going to go into me paying for this bond.
Mm.
So I went to my bank and I said to my bank, you know what? I don't really think I can afford this. My bank was like, no, you actually really cannot afford it. I mean, four banks rejected me. Then the last bank... three banks rejected me. Then the bond originator said, you know what, send through your stuff and I will go to the banks for you. I said, okay, not a problem. So I sent her my stuff, and then she goes to my bank, and my bank somehow approves this thing. They approved this loan over 30 years. I mean, I was looking for a loan of, at that time, I think the loan was 2.8 million, because I was going to put down a deposit. And at the end of 30 years, I would have paid almost close to 8 million for that house. And I mean, the house was going into form. I mean, that is crazy. You know what I mean? So then I went back to my bank. I said, how did you guys get this right? Because you told me that I cannot afford this house. Then the bank says to me, okay, no, we need to first look at what the bond originator has submitted to us. Then eventually they send me the stuff, and the bond originator has cooked my numbers.
Yeah, they want the sale.
She wants the sale. She's understated my debts. It's looking, and I was so shocked. But at the end of the day, the bank is like, well, we have pushed out a bond approval based on the numbers that we've got. And the agent is saying, well, that means the suspensive clause in the OTP has been fulfilled, because there is a bank that's willing to give you that money. So basically, the law then says, if there is a bank that's willing to give you that money, you have to buy the house.
Yeah. So she was actually literally chasing she was chasing the commission, dude. She was chasing the commission.
Yes.
And now she had to cook books for you to actually be in a position to get the bond.
Yes.
Okay, then?
Then now I have to now employ some lawyers to try and get out of the situation. And it took 125,000 rand, and this is just a settlement amount.
Mm-hmm.
So this is outside of the lawyer's fees that I had to pay to settle with the agency that was selling the house, because they're saying, obviously, they're claiming loss of potential clients when they had to take the house off the market.
Okay.
So then going back to the bond originator to say, okay, here's another fight, and my lawyers were like, you know what, to be honest with you, it's going to take another long trial, because now you have to prove that this is what she's, you know what I mean? So I let it go. But at the end of the day, for me, it was a matter of, you did not know. She didn't take advantage of you because you're stupid. She took advantage because you did not know.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the biggest problem that happens in South Africa, is that a lot of us do not know. So then what happens is that we then sit outside and say, oh, the banking system is so corrupt. The banking system is doing this. People are taking advantage of us. They take advantage of you because you don't know. And that for me is the biggest gap in South Africa, is that we've got a lot of people in this country who don't know.
Okay.
And for me, what is important is that those of us who have the advantage of knowing even just a little bit, let us share that information.
So now when you got pissed and you said, you know what, I'm pissed, now I'm going to flog.
So that's how I, so what I do is, most of you look at my vlogs, I speak on my personal experiences. So I won't, because I know for a fact that I am not a qualified financial person, I don't have a degree in finances, I don't want to touch on subjects that I know nothing about. So what I will do is, in my videos, they will always start with a story. So I'll tell a story about my own personal life. So I've told the story of buying property. I mean, I've managed tenants. Oh Lord, it was the worst financial decision of my life. I mean, I had a tenant who didn't pay me for at least 4 months. And even when she left my house, in a mess, she still asked me for the deposit. And I was like, sis, Njani, how does that work? So, I mean, again, it's a situation of not knowing, you know what I mean? I mean, I could have employed an agency that could have done all this work for me. I wouldn't have had the headache. But because I did not know, I went and tried to do it myself. But sometimes also because karata chelete, so I didn't want to pay someone else. But from that, I then can relay that story to other people who are looking into buying property, to say, for me, the lesson in that was not necessarily the managing the tenants yourself, but it's knowing tenants' rights.
Yeah, but now you've told me why you started. You don't tell me how you started.
Oh, I took a camera and started vlogging. What do you mean? I took my smartphone and I was there and talking.
And now the minute that you are realizing that people are liking your videos and you said you begin to have a following.
Yeah, that's when I started thinking, geez, this thing is actually powerful. It's powerful to speak to people because people can relate to the conversations that you're talking about. And it's a powerful tool, because then what happens is that we start a conversation. Because in any, and again, I'm going to speak on black people, we don't speak about money in our families. I mean, my little sister this year was coming into varsity. We all knew. I mean, she was in grade 12. So we all were clear on the fact that Uzo was a varsity the next year. But there was no planning for her. Financially, nobody planned. My parents, I mean, I love you guys wherever you are, and if you are listening, please excuse me for this, I'm going to reveal family secrets. I've got educated parents. My dad is a member of parliament, and I'd like to assume he's educated to some level, despite, you know, the popular belief of what politicians are. You know, he's an engineer by profession. He started this thing. My little sister's born in 1999. In 1999, my dad could have gotten an education policy for my sister. What happened? Where is that education policy? Why is it not kicking in
it
right now?
It became an age moment.
Oh yeah, I understand. Abayazi, they don't know. When I speak to him, he's like, no, there was a policy that I signed up for, but now they don't want to pay, or it's not paying us. And I'm like, how? How did you buy a financial product that told you that by this year, after so many years, your child will be able to go to school without you worrying about it? You bought into it. You were paying every month. Now we've got a child that needs to go to varsity and there's no money.
So, Budelani, I mean, did you have any financial discussion with your parents or growing up or family member or whatever to say, where are you going to go to school? Where's the money going to be coming from? Or what are you even going to be doing tomorrow?
Nah, none of that. I mean, my highest grade is grade 9, dude, so there was no talk of matric dances or varsity or whatever. And there's never been that talk. And I think I see it even now. You know, my mother would see invoices or money wherever. And I think that's where, for me, when I started out, I think, on the back end with debt. Very bad debt. Because, I mean, the idea there was, get money, just buy this, buy that, buy that. You know, up until the point where I could have cash sitting on my on the side of my bed, and my mother would think you've got a lot of money, but like, no, I don't have a lot of money. This money has been spoken for.
Yes.
You understand? So I think that in itself also then sparks anger or whatever, that there's no bread, but there's 30,000 there. What's going on? You know, you have to be very steadfast in managing your money and understanding what the money is for and respecting money. Because if you respect it, it's going to respect you.
No, definitely. No, Bulelane has said, if you respect money, money is definitely going to respect you. And I mean, Bulelane, what you're saying, it's so true. I mean, with me, I know personally that the minute I started working, okay, I was fortunate. I bought my first house when I was earning 2.5. You know, and interesting enough is that I remember my mother used to say to me, and I was like, nothing's going to come to you unless if you go out there and actually want to. So for me, it was a big thing for me to actually buy a house at that age. And for me, I had gotten pissed for the fact that I didn't want to buy a car before I buy a house, you know, but I wanted to buy a house because I've always wanted to be in property, you know. And now the most interesting thing happened, when the minute I started working, then I was earning about 1.5. So me earning 1.5, all of a sudden I had now companies call me, don't you want an AdGuard account, don't you want a what account, don't you want a this and this account. And for me, I couldn't even know where the heck do they get my money, where the heck do they even get you know, where do they get my number from to even call me and want to actually be in a position of offering me an account. So for me, it was a challenge that I actually had. And right now I found myself to say, you know what, I'm working, let me open up this account, because and they say you qualify for 500 rand voucher, 1,000 voucher. Do you know 1,500 voucher when I was earning 1.3, how much was it? It was a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why for me, I jumped on the opportunity to open up an account, and little did I know that what I was putting myself in debt, you know. And for me to get out of the debt, it was so difficult. And right now for me, that's why for me, I thought, you know what, let me rather devote my money in buying a house. And for me, my mother said, dude, how do you buy a house with 2.5? And I even remember my house was 70,000, dude, you know, and when I bought the house outside, dude, it was even a shack, but in Zimbabwe, you know. As I remember my friends at the time, when I took them to go see my house, I thought I made a big mistake, because they asked me, says, dude, what do you buy Uteng in, like, you know, is this a house or what is this? Because they didn't see the potential in the house that I wanted to buy. And fast forward years later, I mean, I sold the house 4 or 5 times more than what it was worth. And I paid off the house 3 years later. So these are the discussions that we don't have. And these are the discussions that I want to start having in our families, in our black families. These are the discussions that I want us to have as well, I mean, with our kids, to say, you know what, financial literacy is important. We must not be afraid to talk about money.
Yes.
And talk about money in relationships as well.
Yes.
Dude, we've been bankrupt because of women.
In your financial lane.
Exactly. I know you've had your own story around dating and finance. Tell us about it.
Look, I've always been an advocate to say you need to date in your financial lane, and purely because money
date in your financial lane. What does that mean, though?
Jola limotu olikanang luena ka chelete. And even if I likan luena, it's not even a matter of an amount of money, but the way of thinking.
I'm sure you're going to
money.
Yeah, sure.
I've got more money than money.
But do we think the same way about money?
Yeah, okay.
And that's the important thing, you know what I mean? Because you may date somebody who's got the same amount of money as you, but they're a frivolous spender.
Mm-hmm.
Then what do you do? Or somebody who takes these funny risks that you are not really sure of.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody who's really that frugal, that to a point where you know, we're making our own butter, you know.
But Bulianan, would you date somebody that doesn't have money?
No, I would.
Because reality is, we've been taught to say you must not look at the person and the standard that they had. And Ronald Chita, dude, let's be honest. We guys can date them as broke as they are, dude. You know? And we look after them and we do this and
then.
And you, they wouldn't date you when you broke.
That's what we're saying. The problem is not the fact that she's broke.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, how does she see money? Do you then, if you do take her and everything,
mm-hmm.
does she become dependent on you to a point where you should be afraid the day you die, because your children will not be taken care of? Because this woman that you've been living with, you've basically been taking care of her. So I don't have any money management, any relationship with money.
Mm-hmm.
And that for me is the biggest problem, is that yes, granted, she may have less money than you, but I understand the chelete. It's about chelete, iberka juang, it's what I invest to juang.
No, but guys, I'll play the advocate's, training the devil's advocate here. So how does a person know money, dude? We are not taught money at home. We don't talk money at home, Bulenan.
Learn it in the streets.
No,
that's literally where you learn it, though.
But you have the teacher.
Yeah.
And she must be a teachable soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people who are not teachable. People who think they know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes in life you need to be corrected. You know, and also you must look at the person and what's important to them. And I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
If you want to go on holiday with your girlfriend, some people care about what they fly there or how they travel there.
Mm-hmm.
Some people care about the experiences of what they're going to do on holiday.
Yeah.
Some people care about what hotel they're going to live mm-hmm. into. And that's where you guys need to meet. You need to be able to balance each other out to say, okay, no, we don't mind flying one time. Is that thing one time?
No, it's
one
not.
Time. Yeah. Yeah. But if during its time, we don't mind flying one time, but we're going to live in mm-hmm. this beautiful hotel.
Yeah.
Do you understand? And that's where, that's the type of person you need to find. Mm-hmm. And I mean, in this day and age, come on, the problem about tons, ne? Tell you what the problem is. Mm-hmm. Ali Joli. The moment you meet a girl, about Michelle and then La Jola. No, it can't work like that, guys. Get to know people. Get to know the person.
There's something that pisses me off, though. Uh-huh. You know, speaking about that, because we're actually talking money, you know.
Yeah.
We can't be getting much into that.
Yeah.
It's the fact that the guy needs to always taking the bill, dude. You know?
That's wrong.
And I know that you touch base.
So and the waiters, the thing is, as well, the waiters also create that awkward.
It's a
psyche. Mm. You know? And the waiter would come when a gentleman and a lady are having dinner, supper, lunch, outing, whatever, and he would automatically push the bill
to the guy.
To the gentleman.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who.
Waiters must start pushing the bill to the ladies, guys, not us.
Always ask for the bill. I always say to him, why are you giving him the bill? Put the bill in the middle. Put the bill in the middle. Because I'd like to assume that Bulelani and I are on a date and we have discussed let date Lena. Even if it's not explicitly saying you are taking this date. But the person who invites must pay.
But then can it not be the man inviting all the time? No, but guys, we've been invited and we've been paying.
That's my motto, that's what I live by as well.
But guys,
when you order without limitation or reservation.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So guys,
knowing you can afford it.
Okay, yes. Guys, the show is almost ending.
Sorry.
So we've been giving people problems.
Yeah.
Can we give people solutions? So how can people learn about money?
I think the most important thing is to understand your own personal situation. Assess your own situation, mm-hmm. where you are. Because money, finances, financial literacy is very broad. There are many things that you can learn about, mm-hmm. right? And you don't want to be taking these big bites of everything because you end up missing things, right?
Okay.
So look at your own situation. If you are in a debt situation, rather educate yourself on debt. And as Bulelani said, he learned off a YouTube video.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, let's find information. The information is there, it's out there, it's accessible.
Mm.
Maybe it's not in the right spaces that we want it to be. And that's why then we have situations where Abo Nicolette are trying to bring it, to bring the information to the people.
Mm.
I mean, we're going to be setting up 10 lessons starting in September. So we'll have free classes sponsored by one of the financial houses.
Mm.
And we're going to be literally going through all the topics of financial literacy. Yeah. You know?
I hope we're going to be there. But listen, do you talk about money at home? You don't? Okay, no, definitely. But more than anything, I think we definitely need to start having that discussion about money. But more than anything, so Nicolette, people that want to get hold of you, when can they get a hold of you?
So I am on Facebook as Nicolette Mashile,
mm-hmm.
And then the page is Nicolette Mashile, Financial Literacy with Nicolette Mashile. I'm on Instagram and Twitter. I don't respond to DMs. Please do not DM me. And I'm Coco Mash. Not because I don't like responding, because I actually forget they exist, because they never bring any dates.
Okay. Bulelani, where should people go for financial literacy?
What? Are you asking me that? Come to tea. www.joinusfortea.co.za. No. We'll host it.
Oh, okay. No, definitely. Let us definitely host it. This is all that we had for you today on 360 Biz. Catch us again next time for another exciting installment of 360 Biz. If ever you've just joined in on the show, you can definitely go to www.cliffcentral.com or you can download the Cliff Central ad to actually hear and listen to the exciting show that we had today on financial literacy. My name is Debo Mafodi with Bulelani and Nicolette Mashile right here outside broadcasting at the Media Tech. Definitely, if ever you are listening, you can definitely come, take a taxi, take whatever, come to Media Tech. It's happening from the 19th to the 21st of July. Come see what is happening out there, and definitely they've got all of the stands that they've been set up. There's all this exciting technology that is actually happening. It is out there happening. You must look for information. Information won't come knocking to you. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Debo Mafodi with Bulelani Balabala. We out.
360 Biz on cliffcentral.com. cliffcentral.com.